Okay, Herb will be up first.
Mike, how's this, Charles? A little higher. Wow. All right. I'm the only person at this conference who has been fired by Michael Bloomberg. I know. Great applause. I wish I could tell you that it was because I was exercising open carry rights in Lower Manhattan. But actually, I had been the Giuliani commissioner for 8 years, and like all of us got fired except for one, Chuck Schumer's wife, the transportation commissioner. Well, I only have a few minutes, and I want to tell you how you might soften up the media to make bias less likely, and then how you can actually address real bias that happens to you or happens to our issue. I think John Lott was correct this year. He made a similar point last year when there was another wacky story in the news. The media doesn't understand a lot of these studies. Yesterday he was talking about that FBI so-called study, and then it concluded that there was a lot more mass shootings. And we're not going to be able to make real headway with the folks who are rabid anti-gun types. I think our focus needs to be with the lazy journalists, and there's a lot of them. I think Malia and Tom could attest to this, and many others, and your cocktail party journalists who just don't want to depart from what may be considered fashionable with their other fellow journalists. So bias is really obvious in New York TV. Those of you who are from the New York area, oftentimes they go ahead with no pro-gun or pro-freedom spokesman. Some journalists are just, like I said, committed zealots. When this happens, I think we need to appeal to their sense of fairness or their boss's sense of fairness. Like, we appreciate you focusing on this issue, but have you considered how many lives are saved by guns each day, each year? The case in Oklahoma being another great example. Invite the media to events. If you have a club or an association, invite them to an open event, or better yet, to shooting, and get them softened up to that issue that way. Use social media to communicate with reporters. Flatter them, not on when they disagree with us, but on some other report or some tangential report. And I don't use Twitter myself. I use Facebook kind of passively, but this is a great way for you to get more young people involved. You control the content and get someone in your organization to get sent out the Twitter feeds. What did Tom say? He tweets out 15, 20 times a day or something like that. So get them to use Twitter and Facebook on your behalf. Now, if you've been attacked, if you've been the victim of media bias, or if you see the bias on even a national issue in your local media is really awful, here's what I suggest you do. Ask for corrections. New York, I got my first retraction from the New York Times when I was 20 years old. The year I met Alan Gottlieb in 1970. Letters to the editor, I've been successful in getting those through. Big city newspapers often have an ombudsman. Their job is to investigate claims of media bias. And if you're in a smaller market, you can ask who handles these kind of claims. It might just be the editor, or it might be somebody who controls the letters to the editor. So get the story that way. Give the story to a competitor. Especially in your big markets, one newspaper likes to write about the shortcomings of another. You know, the New York Post and the New York Daily News are constantly jockeying back and forth about how they got to a story first. So give the story to a competitor. Interest a local journalism school. They have to track, or they should be tracking, media bias as well to see if they'll write about it, and then maybe you could publicize their findings once they're out. Speak with the editors, speak with the news directors and publishers. I think Malia made that point. Talk to the boss of somebody if you're not getting through to the reporter, himself or herself. Now you've got blogs that you can start yourself, or you can comment on someone else's. Get a columnist interested. So if there's a bad news story, either about your organization or about the gun issue generally, get a columnist who might be a little friendlier to take on the issue and take up your cause. And now you have websites all over that people use for news, from the Huffington Post, the Salon, to others on our side as well. Go to those comments. Have you ever read the comments after an article online? Often anonymous and really nasty. So an open, informative comment would actually be a breath of fresh air. So consider that. Get somebody to do that. Again, if it's not your style, get one of the younger people in your organization to take that on as a responsibility. So I only had a few minutes to wrap up. Sugar versus vinegar. Flatter a reporter if you can. Not if they disagree with us, but try to redirect them toward something that'll get them toward our viewpoint. Complain and correct when necessary. There are more options than ever to correct or at least expose media bias. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Herb. And now we'll hear from Don.
Thanks. I'm probably going to echo a lot of what Herb said because it was very good, very accurate. Just also put into context, some people will always say, probably not anybody in this room, but, does media bias exist or it doesn't exist? It's particularly on the gun issue. And as I was going back in my mind, AIM has been around for 45 years, started by my father when I was about 10 years old. Never thought I'd still be doing this to this day. But in 1975, CBS put on a documentary called The Guns of Autumn. And some of you may remember this. It's been a long time, obviously. It was a very anti-hunting episode done by Dan Rather. One of the great claims to fame of Dan Rather. Now, back then, what you could do is that you could actually file a Fairness Doctrine complaint. And not everybody did this. It wasn't widely used. Fairness Doctrine is now long gone. And really doesn't need to be in effect because of talk radio and the internet and a lot of freedoms that we have today. But there was a report that on that show alone, 36,000 complaints were filed against the Guns of Autumn. Now, some were probably spurious and inconsequential, but the fact is that you're talking about 1975, pre-internet, pre-social media, anything like that. I think that's a phenomenal number to show the level of anger and upset, and just the disbelief that people had that CBS would put something on like this. CBS has not really gone back to that issue. It was not a good thing for them to get into. Obviously, not a shining moment for Dan Rather. Now, after we had the Newtown school shootings, the Media Research Center, which is similar in nature to what we do, they did a one-month study. They looked at news reports on this issue and seeing how many stories were covered on the gun issue. And it was very interesting that as they went from that day to a month after, they had 216 stories on gun policy by the major networks, ABC, CBS, NBC. The ones that were favoring the gun control position, 8-1 margin in just 1 month. I mean, 1 month. Okay. Sound bites. They tracked sound bites for spokespeople, and they had, it was 228 for gun control, 134 against. Gun control advocates made 28 guest appearances. 7 of them were for our side, for freedom, as Alan Cornwell would say. CBS, the worst of the pack, 22-1 ratio. ABC was at 6-1 and NBC at 5-1. The morning shows, when they average it out, 8-1. The evening shows, the news broadcasts, 9-1. So it was overwhelmingly against the pro-freedom, the pro-gun side of things. And this is an inherent thing that they deal with, that they just constantly go on. Herb, you mentioned John Lott. He's had trouble, obviously, getting people to debate him. He's had trouble when he tries to get people to correct the record. And he's a very prominent person within the movement, and he can't get anybody to pay enough attention to when he says, hey, look, I've got the facts. This is what it is. And this is, what Alan Corwin and others have said time and time again, is that, we have the facts. This is how we disarm them. This is how we can beat them. And it can be on this issue, it can be on a lot of issues, but facts are stubborn things. They do win out in the end of the day, but don't get overly emotional when you're delivering those facts. Deliver those facts, point out the error of their ways, and do this. So, Herb talked about lazy journalists. I've talked with others about lazy journalists. This is a long-standing issue with me and other people, I think. You can get journalists to your position if you help them along a little bit. Kind of maybe as sugar, you know, versus vinegar. Kind of adopt a journalist, get a little friendly with them, get to know them, make it understand that, you know, I'm a person, you're a person, we can talk on this level, and I can show you what, you know, what's going on here, and I can take you out to the range, I can do these different things. One of the major reasons I feel that the media does what they do on this issue is that think about how they're educated. Who was teaching them? Who has taught them in the colleges? 1960s, 1970s kind of radicals. They're still in the academy. They're starting to slowly retire. But they have received a very liberal education. The viewpoints that come out are not about fact-checking. It's about, let's make a name for ourselves. Let's do this. Let's go with what we think is popular opinion and then move on from there. Social media is extremely important. Yes, use Twitter, use Facebook. And it's, you know, I use Twitter a fair amount, but it's not just for you tweeting out. Follow them, tweet back to them, get engaged in a conversation with them, use Facebook. You know, a lot of us have smartphones. The journalists of today, this is what they're using. This is how they're getting their news. If you're going to do something with them, you've got to make it so that they can see it on their phone. Even journalists today are not reading that many newspapers, hard copy newspapers or magazines. They're doing it this way. So we have to adapt in order to be able to connect with them and contact them. So use this. And, you know, what I'd like to do at some point in time is really what we're missing here is that we need people on our side to write about this. I'd love to establish some kind of freedom fellowship where we have someone who's funded for a year to write about these types of issues kind of in an unbiased manner, but present our viewpoint in a fair and accurate manner, and I think that we can start changing the tide. Thank you.
Don is my favorite panelist. He always is concise and on time and shows up and does it and gives us an extra minute. So we'll turn it over to Charles now.
Thank you. I'm going to do something a little bit different. First of all, we have a long tradition at Gun Rights Policy Conference of stealing the thunder of the person after you by saying what they were going to say. But I have something a little different. I'm actually going to do a demonstration of something for you. But I want to amplify what Herb said about journalists and being friendly to them. Adopt one. Find one that you think will stick for a while and to some extent befriend them. In other words, get at least a position of where they will take your phone call. If you can build that much relationship with a journalist, and what you offer them is, look, I will give you background. If you want facts and you want documentable facts, I will provide those for you. I will give you sources. I will show you where to look for information that the other person may not know about and will actually make you look good when you know what questions to ask. And you don't have to mention my name for it. That's called developing sources. I am the spokesman for the Arizona Citizens Defense League. I've been doing that now for 9 years. I'm one of the co-founders. By the way, did you see that handguns for the second year in a row called Arizona the friendliest to guns in the United States? And by the way, and one other thing I will tell you briefly, I left Chicago in 1978 because of the right to keep and bear arms. I am a political refugee for the right to keep and bear arms. So that's why I voted with my radials and drove to Arizona. But I want to talk about a specific tool you can use in the media. And this is something that Malia alluded to. But I want to actually show you how to do it. And that's why I'm on the mic where I can walk around. So I'm going to go back to my booth here. And I'm going to actually play a public service announcement. What I do, I work in radio. I have three talk shows in Arizona. And I also make public service announcements. And I do a decent job of putting them together. And I'm going to actually play one of the ones I made for Aaron Zellman over at, this is how I first got to know Aaron Zellman at JPFO. I made some public service announcements for him that still play on the radio today on a number of shows. I'll just pot this up and I'll pot that down. And here's the first public service announcement I made for JPFO about 12 years ago.
In 1928, Germany required its citizens to register their firearms, making possible Hitler's 1938 Nazi Weapons Act, disarming all Jews. Now ask yourself, what is the real consequence of registration? All in favor of gun control, raise your right hand. Brought to you by Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, America's aggressive civil rights organization. JPFO.org.
Okay. So let's just say that not everybody gets that, because not everyone that's outside of our milieu can relate to the anti-Nazi message. Let me speak in code to you Chicagoans and Chicago area people. If you ain't from Skokie, that may not resonate with you, okay? Or Buffalo Grove. I'm Jewish, I can say that. So here's one that relates more to the mass of people. And here it is.
Imagine that this is your daughter.
What do you want?
Now you get to decide how this scene ends. Or...
Stop! Stop!
Some misinformed people want to take away your daughter's choice between rape and self-defense. We're pro-choice on self-defense. Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, JPFO.org.
Now, that's a little strong for WLS. Maybe. Maybe not. What I'm telling you is that you're from diverse areas of the United States. There's people here from all parts of the country, even the PRC, you know, People's Republic of California, and foreign countries like that. And if you would like to have ads done like that, I will gladly do them for you. There is no charge whatsoever. If you'll give me the idea of what you want done, we can come together, or you write a script and I'll voice it. Or if you want to take that phone that Don just held up and use the record function on it, there's a pretty good recorder, a digital recorder on most of your phones. We can actually do this over your smartphone, and you can be the voice on your commercial. I'm not looking to get, I get plenty of attention as it is. I don't need my voice around anymore. This isn't for me. It's for you. It's for all our rights. If you'd like, we can make commercials that are that powerful. They can be that strong, or they can be a little softer, whatever you want. We can put some nice music in them. We can do whatever you'd like. And it is so inexpensive to get that on the radio. You would be amazed at how little it would cost, and what a campaign put together like that over, say, a period of 6 weeks. You could make ads that people will really remember. And in order to enforce this point, how many of you are from the Chicago area? Okay, right. All right, what's the phone number for Magic Kissed Carpet Cleaning? Say it. Magic Kissed by Bouchelle. Remember the old sign that used to be on the Ryan on the way downtown with the lips? Isn't it Hudson 32700? With that real low voice singing it? Pardon? Most people who are over 40 will remember this. Hudson 32700. And that was about the only ads they did. And that ad hasn't run on the radio in 30 years. And a lot of people in Chicago remember it. We can do ads like that, and lots of people listen to the radio. And we could put ads out giving our message that would go a long way. It might be the first thing that anybody who wasn't raised in the gun culture. I had a range in my basement at Melrose and Broadway. So it was a BB gun range. It wasn't illegal. But I grew up in the gun culture here, right here in Chicago. But for people who don't, maybe their first exposure to it might be an ad similar to what the two I played for you. What an amazing way to open hearts and minds, or at least to get people a little aggravated and get them off a top dead center. So if you want to do this, it's Charles, take out a pen, it's Charles at LibertyWatchRadio.com. Once again, Charles at LibertyWatchRadio.com. I'll do it a third time in a moment after you've gotten your phones out and opened the window for it. But the point is, if you want to do this, it's free, and I will gladly help you develop a campaign. I will produce radio spots for you if you'd like. If you need a voiceover done for something, I'm happy to do it. Don't have the world's best voice, but I do get across, and I'm happy to help you in that way. Any of your organizations, Florida Carry, Illinois Carry, any of you guys out there, the Buckeye people, if you want PSAs done, I will help you do this. Furthermore, I will teach you how to do it. And I will show you over the internet, I can show you how to put these ads together and mix them. And so you can teach other people so that no one of us is dependent on any one activist to get something done. Because that's how we promote the effusion of our culture, is to teach other people how to do it. And I'll tell you something, and Don had the right idea with the phone. If we can get the culture of people who grew up with their nose in their iPhone to get into this and make it their hobby to produce PSAs like this, we will make our culture last in eternity. And if anyone has a quick question, I'll entertain it. I think I have 1 minute maybe, or do I not? Charles@libertywatchradio.com. And if you'd like, I have a fairly interesting program, the last 6 months of it. The first hour is called Liberty Watch. The last hour is called America Armed and Free. And the first hour is about maintaining a free country and making sure government remains servant, not master. And the second hour is about things with a muzzle, a nozzle, or a blade. And I've had the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs on for an hour. CNN wouldn't get him for 7 minutes. I'm a radio producer at heart. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm new to public speaking. I've always been able to rely on Philip Van Cleef, but now I'm in charge of the PAC, so I have to speak to elections and endorsements. Can any of you give me tips on spotting lazy journalists versus hostile journalists?
Well, see if they're just going with a platitude and the mush that you saw, especially if they're repeating a story. Those are sometimes your anchors or people who are handed stuff. The folks who, like at the Associated Press, I think, are particularly biased, but they put out stuff that other people lead with. So look for just more vicious stuff. That's more likely from a really biased guy versus, you know, even like the USA Today just reprinting FBI says mass shootings on the increase. And, you know, as John Lott pointed out, it's not the right conclusion, but it was probably lazy. There's no real bile in that article. So look for bile. That's a tip off.
Hi, William Pugh. I've been involved in Illinois public concealed carry issues. And today we've discussed a lot of things about media bias and hostility. What about being totally ignored? I'll use, for example, iGold in Illinois. Last year we had over 7,000 people march on the Capitol building in Springfield, Illinois. This year we had probably 5,000 some that did the same thing. Not one Chicago TV news covered it.
I'm going to suggest social media is the answer to that. And that's where what Don said about knowing a reporter and being able to get on their feed and feed the media through your Twitter account and get that information to where the individual reporter cannot ignore it. And what you're doing is you're plugging the toilet and forcing it to back up into their newsroom. We call that tailpiped carburetorism,
Do I have a microphone? They could not have possibly ignored it. This was in Springfield, Illinois. All of the Chicago TV news stations always have reporters that cover everything that happens in the Capitol.
Flood the reporter's Twitter account.
And I did bring it to the attention of all the Chicago TV news stations. If they had five people who stood outside a Walmart with a cardboard sign that said guns are bad, ban them, they'd get their 2 minutes on the evening news. We got nothing.
Can I have the microphone back? Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Charles, again. Thank you, Herb. Thank you, Don.